I promise. Okay, so what is Thanksgiving?
那什么是感恩呢？
So America as a country, as a nation, has practiced Thanksgiving from very early on. 1621 was the year of the first Thanksgiving.
当然作为在美国它是开始这个感恩的这个节日是很早的时候，那当然是在从最早是1621年。
And at that point, the pilgrims had come. They had survived through a year. They had the fall harvest had come, and they gathered in the harvest. And 3 days later, they got together and had a big feast.
当然，他们刚来的时候就是是很是艰难，特别是在当年的这个冬天，经过他们丰收以后，在这个丰收三天以后，他们一起聚在一起来庆祝这个感恩节。
And the early writings of the pilgrims are very clear. They were being thankful to God.
在早期的这些移民的这些移民这一点很清楚，他们感恩的是说是感恩神。
Unlike what your kids probably learn in 4J, that we're thankful to we don't know who, because we're usually most schools are not allowed to teach that this early Thanksgiving was to God. It is unambiguous. The early writings of the first pilgrims is this was thanks to God.
当然这个不像我们的小孩在现在这个尤金这个佛界这个学区所学到的，我们感恩呢也不知道是向谁向哪一位感恩因为在学校出于某种原因他们不愿意讲这个起初感恩的意义当然在早期的时候这一点是很清楚是毫无可置疑的是他们感恩的是向这位神感恩。
At this time, Thanksgiving was an informal holiday. It wasn't a national holiday.
在当时的时候，它并不是一个官方的这个节日。
But there's a mystery here because at the time, this fall, that fall when they were giving thanks, half of the people in their community had died.
但是在当时的这个时候，他们庆祝感恩节的时候，他们已经有一半的这个殖民者已经死去了。
Later on, the holiday was made into an official holiday by Abraham Lincoln.
当然在后来就是Abraham 的这个林肯总统就把它定为一个全国性的节日。
And when did he do it? He did it during the middle of the American Civil War. He established Thanksgiving.
当然他什么时候定的这个节日呢？是在这个美国内战的之中。
So how can you give? And Lincoln again very clearly in his writings, this is thanks to God.
当然，在这个当时的这个书面的这个资料留下来的资料里面很清楚，他们感恩是向神感恩。
But how can we be thankful in the midst of our mourning?
当然在这种就是他们这个哀痛的时候，他们怎么能够向神感恩呢
？How can we be thankful when we're sick?
当然我们患病患的时候，我们也怎么能够感恩呢
？Or we have money problems.
或者我们有金钱上的问题
or family problems,
或者家庭的问题的时候
work problems,
或者有战争的时候
or maybe our country's in distress,
可能我们整个国家也处于一个悲痛的时候
how can we be thankful to God?
那我们怎么这个时候还能对神感恩呢
how did the early pilgrims, when they lost half of their people, why were they thankful to God?
那当然对于早期的这个移民他们已经失去了他们一半人的时候他们还怎么能够感恩呢
I think this is a small mystery for us.
当然，对我们来说，这个是一个奥秘。
So hopefully we can answer this in a minute.
当然，我们就接下来，我们希望能解开这个奥秘。
Okay. So let's look at Exodus, Moses, the story of Moses and the Israelites in Exodus.
那我们看一看，就是在出埃及记里面，摩西带领以色列人出埃及的故事。
So briefly, the background of the story. At the beginning, Moses was raised in the court of the Pharaoh and was later angered the Pharaoh.And fled for his life, fleeing for his life. He lived in the desert as a shepherd for 40 years. He married and had a family.
当然，这个故事大概的背景就是摩西从小在法老王的宫中长大，但是他后来他也得罪了法老，所以他逃走了，在沙漠里面牧羊，后来成家。
And so during his time in the desert after 40 years, one day God called him.
当然，在这个沙漠里面生活了四十年以后，神。
And God said, "I've heard the suffering of the Israelites."
神对他说，我听到了以色列人在受患难。
I want you to go bring them out of slavery.
我需要你去把他们从这个苦难中拯救出来。
You will be their leader.
你会成为他们的领袖。
And you will go to the Pharaoh and speak to him with authority.
当然你也会去对法老用带着你的权柄对法老讲话。
And of course, like so many people called by God.
当然很多人也被神来呼召。
But what did Moses say? He said, "I don't want the job."
那摩西说了什么呢？他说我不想去做这个事情。
And it really wasn't a good job, right?
当然这恐怕也不是一个好差事。
To go speak to Pharaoh.
当然去对法老王讲话。
The most powerful king.
这当时是就是最有权力的一个君王。
Let's look at let's see here. Computer challenges here. So God said to Moses, "So go now. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt."
神对摩西说，你现在所以你现在去，我也派你到法老那里去，使你可以把我的以色列的百姓从埃及领出来。
And Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?"
摩西对神说，我是谁，竟然能够到法老那里去，把以色列人从埃及领出来呢？
So you think about it. Moses is a shepherd.
你想一想，摩西是一个牧羊人。
He doesn't wear robes of great wealth. He wears a shepherd's raw clothing.
他穿的是牧羊人的这个衣服，并不是那种贵族穿的那种长袍。
He's been 40 years speaking to the sheep.
他在四十年的旷野时候，一直是对着这些羊来讲话。
What kind of culture does he have at this point?
那当然，在那个在沙漠中，他是经历了什么样的文化呢？
We know that people who immigrate to another country sometimes after 40 years can lose their native language.
当然我们知道，有时候当人就是到了一个国外的时候，四十年之后，他会完全的忘记他自己的语言。
Most likely, Moses, when he moved to this new location, he learned a new language.
很有可能，当然摩西来到旷野沙漠的时候，他会学会一个新的语言。
In fact, all that time with the sheep, I'm sure his skin was very dark and burned, and maybe he even smelled bad. To be honest.
坦白的讲，我觉得他有可能他的皮肤也变暗了，可能他的身上可能有一个难闻的味道。
Who am I that I should go? I'm just this dirty, ignorant shepherd that I would go speak to the biggest king of the world.
那我是谁呢？我怎么能够去对这个世上最有权力的君王讲话？我只是一个无知的，一个身上有着污秽的一个人。
But each time Moses says this, God has a similar reply.
当每次摩西这样说的时候，神是这样的回复。
I will be with you.
我会与你同在。
I will do the work for you.
我会来为你完成这些事情。
Just go and do what I've told you.
只是去来听我的命令。
So Moses,
摩西说。
So here are a couple more examples. For instance, in Exodus 6:12, Moses said to the Lord, "If the Israelites will not listen to me, why would Pharaoh listen to me, since I speak with faltering lips?"
这里就是几个在同样发生的事情，比如说六章十二节，摩西说，在耶和华面前说，看哪，以色列人尚且不肯听我的话，法老又怎会听我的话呢？因为我是个拙口笨舌的人。
And each time God would respond to him and say, "Just do what I tell you to do."
每一次神当然就是回复说，你只是去按照我说的去做。
6:30, Moses said to the Lord, "Since I speak with faltering lips, why would Pharaoh listen to me?"
在六章三十节说，摩西在耶和华面前说，你看我是个拙口笨舌的人，法老怎肯听我的呢？
Now some people say that, well, maybe Moses was just being humble.
那可能有人说摩西他只是谦虚而已。
And doesn't want to take on this glorious role.
不愿意来做这个一个荣耀的工作。
Maybe he was a little bit humble, but I don't think that was his big concern.
当然他可能的确本身是比较谦虚，但是在这里可能不是这个情况。
Some people say that possibly he was just using this as an excuse. He just didn't want to do the job.
那可能他只是说用这个来借口去逃避这个工作。
I think he didn't want to do the job, and maybe that was part of it too.
我想他也可能是不太想做这个工作。
But really, I feel the most critical thing is that he really felt that he was not good enough for the job, that he'd spent 40 years talking with sheep, that he had no authority, that he didn't maybe even feel good about himself. I believe that he did not think he was good enough for this job.
但是这里我真的是相信他的确他自己觉得他不适合这个工作，因为他一直在四十年对着羊讲话，也没有这个权柄。
So here, we're going to look a little more closely at this short passage, this short section here when he's one sample.
那我们再看看这段经文来看看这个例子。
Let's look in more detail at one of these interactions between Moses and the Lord.
看看这个详细的就是神和摩西这个说话的这个过程。
Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue."
摩西说，主啊，我不是会讲话的人，以前不是，自从你对仆人说话，以后也不是，因为我本是拙口笨舌的。
So have any of you ever been in a situation where your teacher says, come and give a talk in front of the class, right?
那不知道你们曾经经历过这样，你的老师对你说，到这个课堂的前面来跟大家讲。
And you're thinking, you know what, I'm not a good speaker.
你可能会想到说，我不是一个很善于讲话的人。
So Moses is in a similar situation, of course, it's not much worse though. He has to go speak in front of the most powerful king.
当然摩西也是在这样的情况，他并不是说更糟糕，因为他要面对的是说这个世界上最有权力的一个君王。
But God is very clear in his answer.
但是神很清楚地回答他说。
God says, who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is not I the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say.
神说，谁造人的口呢？谁使人口哑、耳聋、眼迷、眼瞎呢？不是我耶和华吗？现在去吧，我必赐你口才，指教你当说的话。
God is saying, how you speak is how I created you.
神对他说，你怎么讲，就是我怎么来造你的。
The fact that you don't speak fluently is how I created you.
你现在就是还不说话，不是很流利，就是我当初创造你就是这样的。
So we think about that in our lives, how sometimes we feel insufficient.
当然我们想想我们自己的生活，有时候我们觉得也很多时候不足够。
Could some of those aspects of yourself be what God has created in you?
那可能你个性的有些方面，也许是神造你就是这样。
Is it possible that looking at those aspects, we could be thankful sometimes for what we are?
那有没有可能我们看看我们个性的这些方面，我们也为神感恩，因为神造我们是这样。
Moses, of course, is still unhappy.
当然摩西还是不太高兴。
Pardon your servant, Lord, please send someone else. I don't want to do this.
他说，对不起，你请你差派你愿意所差的人去，因为我不太适合做这个事情。
And so God's response is to say, well, you don't want to speak? Okay, I'm going to send your brother with you. You will speak to your brother, and your brother will speak to the Pharaoh and to the Israelites.
神那段神的回复就是说，既然你不允许，那我差派你的兄弟跟你去，你对你的兄弟讲话，然后你的兄弟对着法老我要他讲的话。
Now, in this passage in Exodus, we find that Pharaoh's heart is hardened repeatedly.
在这些经文里面，我会发现，这个法老的心一直是重复的在刚硬。
God brings 10 plagues upon the Egyptians, and in each case, the Pharaoh's heart cannot permanently be softened. His heart is hard every time.
神降了这个实灾给这个埃及人，在这个实灾的过程中，法老的心一直没有柔软，一直是持续的这个刚硬。
But the Bible is clear, this is God's intention. It isn't that Pharaoh accidentally has a hard heart, but that God intends for him to have a hard heart.
在圣经里面讲到说，并不是很偶然的法老的心这样刚硬，而是说神使他这样，或者神任凭他这样。
All these different passages, we won't read these today, but all these different passages are very clear where God speaks to Moses and said, I want his heart to be hard so that I can show my power and glory.
当然在这些经文里面，很清楚地讲是说，神对摩西说， 我想要法老的心刚硬，因为这样能显出神的荣耀和权柄。
So we're going to look at one example specifically.
那我们再看看这样的一个例子。
Go to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his officials, so that I might perform these signs of mine among them, that you may tell your children and grandchildren how I dealt harshly with the Egyptians and how I performed my signs among them, and that you may know that I am the Lord.
神对摩西说：“你要到法老那里去，因为我已经使他的心和他臣仆的心刚硬，为要在他们中间显出我这些神迹，并且要把你愚弄埃及人的事和我在他们中间显出的神迹，都讲给你的子孙听，使你们知道我是耶和华。”
So how, if this is God's intention, What tool? There are many tools that God can use to harden Pharaoh's heart. But I know of a really good tool to harden Pharaoh's heart.
那如果这是神的用意的话，那神用什么样的工具是法老的心刚硬呢？
I think one of the key factors that hardened Pharaoh's heart was Moses himself.
在这个里面有一个关键的因素，就是使法老的心刚硬，就是神的使用摩西。
Let's look at this a little bit.
那我们看一看这些经文。
So here's the 10 plagues.
这个是讲的是十灾。
The first blood.
第一个是血灾。
Plague of frogs.
蛙灾。
Gnats.Flies, the livestock died.
就是这些这些牲畜都死亡了。
Hail,
这些雹灾。
Locusts,
蝗灾。
Darkness,
和黑暗之灾。
And of course, the most terrifying of all, the death of the firstborn.
当然最严重的就是埃及的这些头生的儿子都死掉了。
After each of these.Signs and wonders are performed in Egypt, the Pharaoh cannot soften his heart and humble himself before God and acknowledge God's power.
在这些就是神迹奇事以后，法老的心还没有柔软下来，没有说承认神的权柄。
What happened to him? Why was his heart so hard? Why could he not acknowledge God?
为什么是这么难？他不能够这个认可神的权柄呢？
You look at some of these disasters, these plagues, and they're pretty serious. The food is damaged. The life, the health of the people is damaged. The livestock are lost. The quality of life is hugely impacted.
当然你看看这些灾难，这个有些的确是很严重的，不管是人还是牲畜，还是他们的健康，他们的家庭都受很大的影响。
I think the reason that Pharaoh couldn't change his heart is in part because of Moses.
当然我觉得就是说法老一直都不能改变他的心，也是因为神在使用摩西。
Now remember, Moses is this uncultured, uncouth man who maybe smells.
请大家记得，就是摩西他不是一个有文化的人，可能身上还有很多的味道。
So you think about Moses coming before the Pharaoh, the greatest king.
那你想一想，摩西来到这个当时这个最有权力的这个国王法老面前。
And he says, hey, I'm a shepherd.I know I smell bad, don't worry about it. Hey, by the way, God commands. Let his people go, and if you don't, we're going to do some really bad stuff to you.
当然摩西来到法老的面前说，哦，嘿，我只是一个牧羊人，你不要觉得这个有什么不好啊。顺便说一下，这个神告诉你说要让以色列的百姓走，如果你不然的话，你恐怕有大灾害降到你们。
You can imagine the Pharaoh's heart, it's not going to accept it.
那你可以想象，对法老而言，他恐怕不能够接受这样的说法。
You think about the difference. So what if a king from a neighboring country had come to the Pharaoh?
那你想一想，如果是说他们的邻居一个国家的国王来到法老王的面前说话的时候会怎么样？
He came with fancy robes.
他来穿着这个豪华的衣服。
With perfume.
可能有。
With 20 or 30 or 100 or 1,000 of his people,
可能带来了就是甚至二三十万的人和他一起来。
And he said, "Hey, the neighboring king says, 'Hey, you need to let the Israelites go.'"
他这个邻居国家的国王就说，哦，那你必须要让我的百姓走。
I think for the Pharaoh, that might be something maybe could accept.
当然，在这样的情况下，法老可能会还考虑一下。
But it was exactly this Moses who God had created to not be a good speaker.Who came before Pharaoh?
在这里正是就是上帝所创造的这个摩西，他现在还就是拙口笨舌，是这样的人来到神的面，来到法老的面前来讲话。
Again, think of the difference. So, what if this guy came and spoke to you?
那你想一想，这样的这个人来到你面前对你讲话的时候
，If you're the Pharaoh and Andy Lau comes in and says, "Hey, I got to tell you something. You need to let the Israelites go."
那如果就是这个刘德华来到法老王的面前，说哦，你嘿，你要让这个以色列人走。
And the Pharaoh go, you know, he dresses pretty well.
法老可能会讲，哎，你看你穿得很体面。
He works the cameras on the media really well. He always stands the right way so the cameras get a good shot of him.
他可能就是他甚至站着的时候都选很好的姿势，这样这个媒体好跟他拍一个很好的照片。
I think in that case it's not so easy for the Pharaoh's heart to be hardened.
在那种情况下可能。对法老而言，就是不是太容易，一直这个心这么刚硬。
But it's not Andy Lau who comes before the Pharaoh.
那当然，实际的情况就是不是说这个刘德华来到法老的面前。
It's Drunken Master.
是这个是这个人，这个是醉拳的一个人。
Do you feel the same way if you're Pharaoh? If the drunken, if Chung, what's his name in English? Jackie Chan. If he comes before you, drunk, doing drunken boxing, do you feel the same way?
那如果你是法老的话，像成龙这样醉醺醺的打着醉拳来到你面前，你会这么想吗？
And it's not just Drunken Master. Remember, it's Drunken Master with a spokesperson.
那你想想，这个醉醺醺的人，还是就是来向你讲话的人。
So famous people often will have a spokesperson for them. A famous person would often.
当然，就是一般对有名的人而言，他都会有一个代言人。
A shepherd is now coming with his older brother. His older brother is a spokesperson.
这个一个这样一个牧羊人，居然还有一个为他代言的人来跟他讲话。
So not only do you have Drunken Master, but you have Sochan is with him as well.
就是说你不仅仅是说有这个有成龙居然还有这个苏灿来跟他一起来做他的代言人。
I think this must have been very hard for the Pharaoh to accept.
所以我觉得在这样的情况下是对法老而言他是很难这个接受摩西的说法。
It's my firm belief that God chose or created Moses as a person who wasn't good presenting to so that God could get his goal, which is to have Pharaoh's heart hardened.
我确实的相信，就是神起初就是创造摩西就是这个样子，让法老心里面这个刚硬，不接受他们所讲的话。
As we read in the scripture previously, God says, "I create people who can speak or cannot speak. That's what I do."
那当然就是在像我们读的经文里面说，神是这样创造人的口，是创造人就是这样。
And God sent Moses and said, "Just do what I command you to do. I will show my glory."
他只是对摩西说，你去按照我说的去做，这样我显出我的荣耀来。
And through this, of course, the nation of Israel was blessed.
当然通过这样，就是整个以色列的这个国家也领受了神的祝福。
And numerous times over the years, the Israelites have expressed their thanks to God related to the escape from Egypt.
当然在不计其数的场合里面，整个以色列也表达了对神的感恩，因为他们就是从埃及能够被拯救出来。
Even we today are blessed by what Moses did.
即使今天我们也为摩西所做的那感恩。
Even though Moses said, "I'm not the person for this job."
即使是摩西这么说，我不太适合这个工作。
What if Moses had refused God's command?
那如果摩西来拒绝神的差遣呢？
Obviously, God would have accomplished his goals one way or another, but the power of Moses' testimony as a flawed person to accomplish God's work is very powerful for us.
尽管神就是通过各样的方式来成就他的旨意，但是神借着这样一个有缺陷的人，这样借着摩西呢完成的旨意，这样正显出神的大能。
First Corinthians chapter 1 verse 26-29.
在哥林多前书一章二十六节到二十九节。
Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one can boast before Him.
弟兄们，你们想一想，你们这些蒙召的，按世上的标准来看，有智慧的不多，有权势的不多，出身尊贵的也不多。但是神却拣选了世上愚笨的，使那些有智慧的羞愧；他也拣选了世上软弱的，使那些刚强的羞愧；他也拣选了世上卑贱的和被人轻视的，以及算不得什么的，为了要废弃那些自以为是的，使所有的人在神面前都不能自夸。
Brothers and sisters, I am thankful that God created a Moses who was not an eloquent speaker.
我真的是感谢神，神创造摩西的时候，让他不是一个就是说话流利的人。
Let's look at another story here.
那我们看一看就是另外一个故事。
Let's look at the early missionaries in Fuzhou, China.
那我们看一看早期这个中国福州的这些宣教士们。
In the mid 1800s, there were three Protestant missions sent to Fuzhou.
当然在这个十九世纪的时候， 有三个团体，就是新教的团体去福州去宣教。
1847, the American Methodists went.
在1847年是美国的卫理公会。
And they sent a handful of people, 5 to 10 people.
他们送了大概几个，在5到10个人去宣教。
Later, the same year, the American Board of Commissions of Foreign Missions sent.
在同一年是美国公理中的海外传道部。
And then, of course, the Church of England sent a group in 1850.
在1850年，英国这个海外传道会也差遣。
Now, for me, as a young student in 1987, I spent a year in Fuzhou studying.
当然，作为一个学生，在1984年的时候，我去福州去学习。
So for me, Fuzhou has always been very interesting.
对我而言，福州就是真的是很有意思。
And some of what these missionaries did made a connection for me when I was in Fuzhou.
当然，这些早期宣教者所做的，也后来就是也影响了我。
So that's part of why we're talking about this today.
那就是我们今天想要讨论的。
Now these Protestant missions found the work very difficult at the beginning.
这些宣教士人，宣教士们就是在早期的时候发现这个宣教是非常的艰难。
They were in a faraway land.
他们是在离他们国家很远的一个。
In a new culture.
是新的文化
a new language,
新的语言
and yet they had to do God's work.
当然他们还要做神所差派的工。
Can you imagine it took them 9 years to win their first convert?
当然你能够想象他们就花了9年才有一个就是信主的人。
9 years of preaching the gospel and trying to meet people and trying to build a church, 9 years and yet not one local believer.
在九年之中，他们一直就是要宣道，要建立教会，要和就是和人要传福音，但只有一个人，最后只有一个人才能信主。
Not even one in 9 years.
在这9年之前，即使一个人都没有。
The slowness was terrible for them. They were just always upset and sad about the slowness of their work.
但是他们宣教的这种缓慢的进度，让他们真的感到非常的难过。
One of the missionaries wrote.That the lack of converts humbles us into the dust.
有一个宣教士就是写到，就是说，没有信徒使他们感到就是卑微如尘土。
Think about that, humbled into the dust. That we're nothing. We're so small because whatever we do, nothing comes of it.
就是他们讲到感到卑微如尘土，又觉得他们什么都不是，人们他们所做的没有什么果效。
Another talked about in his letters talked about it being really depressing.
另外一个讲的就是说他比较这个郁闷。
One missionary who went all the way to China found that the lack of believers made him doubt.
当然另外一个宣教士讲的说，一直没有这个能够信主的人，让他真的是有很大的这个怀疑。
How could you? He felt he couldn't believe because nothing was happening.
他就是真的是不能够相信，什么都没有发生。
But in fact, and some of the challenges they faced,
这些就是他们这个面临的这些挑战。
Of course, just being foreign was a challenge.
他们本身这个是外国人。
And I remember that because when I went to Fuzhou in 1987, I experienced being a foreigner.
当然我也记得，当我在1984年去中国的时候，我是一个外国人。
Up to 1987, Fujian province was close to foreigners.
当然在一直在1987年之前，这个整个福建是对外国人是关闭的。
Because it was close to Taiwan.
因为他们这个近就是离台湾很近。
So I remember being in Fuzhou for a year and numerous experiences of being considered very strange and unusual wherever I went.
我记得就是当我在福州的时候，不管我到哪里去，我本身的就是经历的一些遭遇，让你觉得很奇怪。
I remember one time stopping beside the road to buy a cassette tape, and some of the young people don't know what cassette tapes are, maybe, but anyway, it's music. And in those days, they would have the little stands with all these bootleg music, and I stopped by the side of the road biking, and I stop and I want to buy Cui Jian. A lot of you guys know Cui Jian, right? And pretty good music, right? Come on, old timer, we like Cui Jian. And I stopped to buy a cassette tape.
就我记得有一次，就是我骑着自行车在路上走的时候。看到路边呢有一个摆摊的，就是卖那些磁带，可能你们有些人都不知道这个老式的磁带是什么样，当时买这个当然很流行的这个摇滚，崔健的磁带的时候，所发生的一些事情。
So usually when I stopped anywhere, a crowd of people would gather.
就是通常来说，当我停下来的时候，我边上会聚集了一大群人。
That time there were thousands of people.
在那一次我记得有就上千人围着我。
The road was blocked for a couple of kilometers.
这个路就是几公里的这个路全部被人给占满了堵上了。
I'm not exaggerating at all.
我是这里没有任何夸张。
And you could hear the people saying, what's he buying? Oh, it looks like he's buying CGN. Yeah, it's a pretty good choice. All right.
你刚才听到人说他在买什么东西呢？哦，他在买崔健的音乐，是那那这个这个选择还很不错。
So I can imagine what some of the missionaries had their experiences.
我能够想象这些早期的宣教士他们所经历的一切。
They had health problems.
他们健康会出问题。
A lot died.
有很多宣教士都是死在中国。
Including their families and their children.
即使也包括他们的家庭成员，他们的孩子也死在中国。
Up until the Cultural Revolution in the 1960s, there was a missionary cemetery, a large missionary cemetery in Fuzhou.
其实在文革中国的文革以前，1960年之前，在福州有一个专门为这个宣教士这个埋葬他们的这个墓地。
The missionaries faced animosity, attack, and murder.
当然宣教士也面临着这些敌意、这些攻击，甚至谋杀。
The first one was killed in 1850, murdered in 1850.
但是在1985年，第一位宣教士被人杀害。
So that's 3 years into their work, the first one was murdered.
那当然就是这是在三年之后去的那里。
It wasn't easy work.
当然这个的确本身真的很不容易。
And during this period of time, remember, they feel humbled into the dust.
当然在这个时间，他们真的是感到真的卑微，像尘土一样。
They couldn't buy land within the city.
他们不能够在这个城市之内来买地。
At least at the beginning they couldn't, I should say.
至少就是在刚开始的时候，他们是不允许买这个地。
They couldn't live in the city.
他们甚至不能够住在这个城市之内。
They couldn't preach in the city.
当然，他们也不能够在城市之内来。
Now later on, after about 20 years or so, that changed.
当然，在二十年之后，这些就是发生了变化。
But at the beginning, they were required. The only place they could get was this little island.
当然在开始的时候他们唯一能够允许居住的地方就是这个小岛江中的小岛
中州岛中州 island here's a picture from the 1800s of the same island it's a little bit hard to see but the
这是1800年的这个照片
but the island is right here this is the 1907 and here's the island
1907年这个当时的照片，这个岛。
The city is over here where they are not allowed to go.
这个城市在上边，就是他们这宣教士人不允许去。
And this is the picture is taken from Changshan. This is the area I lived in as a student there.
当我做学生的时候，住在这个唐山，就是从这边来照的照片。
But they were limited to that island. Here's the same island in 1987.
在1987年的时候，这个照片照的就是这个岛。
There's some weird American standing there.
有一个看着很奇怪的一个美国人在那里。
So it wasn't an easy job, but they faced an especially big problem.
当然这个当时的确是非常的不容易。
But one of the biggest problems they faced was the opium trade.
当然他们面临很多的问题之中，有一个大的问题就是鸦片的交易。
Now, opium was being forced upon China in this period of time.
在这段时期，就是这个鸦片是被强制卖到中国。
The Chinese people knew that opium was being forced upon China.
当然，这个中国人知道这个鸦片是本身是很不好。
Everybody knew this was an immoral business.
大家都知道这是一个不道德的一个生意。
So the missionaries were faced with this problem.
当然，这个宣教士就面临这样的问题。
So there's a couple of very, I think, very moving passages from their letters, which I'd like to read.
当然这里面就是有几段这个很让人感动的这个书信里面记录下来的。
So Mr. Pete of the American Board wrote in 1856, "No questions have been more frequently put to me by the people of this place during my sojourns among them than those that relate to the subject of opium. Is it not brought from your country? Are not your Jesus Christ men engaged in selling it to us?"
在美国公理中，这个海外传道部的这个 Peter 先生，在1856年写下，我在这个地方的人中间逗留期间，被那里的人们问到的问题，莫过于有关鸦片的主题。难道鸦片不是从你们的国家带过来的吗？难道不是你们耶稣基督的人在从事卖鸦片给我们的事吗
？I think it's even more difficult for people sent from England.
当然，可能对从英国人 从英国去的人来说更为艰难。
Since England was the primary marketer of opium.
既然英国人是主要的，就是从事鸦片贸易的人。
Mr. Wolfe, the Chinese Missionary Society, wrote in 1877, God knows how often and often is our message of peace and salvation contemptuously thrown back in our face with a scornful remark, you destroy us with your opium, and now you insult us with your offer of peace and salvation. How often and often are our efforts as missionaries rendered abortive among the people by the knowledge that we belong to the country which forces opium traffic upon China.
英国海外传道会的这个沃夫先生在1877年写道，神知道我们关于和平和救赎的信息是如何常常的被人用鄙视的一句话轻蔑的打回到我们的脸上，你们用你们的鸦片来摧毁我们，现在又送来你们的和平和救赎用来羞辱我们。由于人们的普遍认知，我们属于强制把鸦片卖给中国的那个国家，这导致我们作为福音传播者的努力常常毫无果效。
Think about how these missionaries must have felt.
那你想想这些宣教士们该怎么想这些呢？
In their hearts they certainly must have felt we are not qualified to preach the gospel.
在他们的内心深处，他们可能觉得说我们真没有这个资格来传讲神的福音。
We come from countries that have immoral behavior.
我们来自一个从事着不道德贸易的一个国家。
How can we preach the gospel?
那我们怎么能够来讲这个神的好消息呢？
God, excuse me, send someone else.
对不起，你神，请你原谅我，还是让别人去吧。
Remember the missionaries talking about how they felt humbled into the dust.
记得那一宣教士就是感觉像卑微，像尘土一样。
Especially the first 9 years, nothing was happening. There was no effect. There wasn't a single believer.
当然，在想一想，在第一个九年的时候，他想想事工没有任何果效，没有一个信主的人。
Is there any reason to give thanks?
那有什么还有什么理由来感恩呢？
Is there any reason to feel good about themselves as missionaries?
那还有什么理由呢？让自己觉得很好呢？
Of course, amazingly, and in fact, during those first 9 or 10 years.They actually did many things.
但是令人惊奇的是，在这个第一个九年、十年，他们成就了很多事情。
Many of them learned Chinese language, learned Chinese culture, even Fuzhou dialect.
他们之中很多人学会了中国的文化、中国的语言，甚至当时福州的这个方言。
And despite the fact that some people were against them, they in fact won the respect of many of the Chinese people locally, including.Some of the elite scholars, officials.
尽管就是他们有很多人敌对他们，但是他们还是获得了当地许多人的尊重，包括那些精英、那些官员。
Even some of the Qing Dynasty government officials privately supported them because they felt that China needed a new message.
当然，即使是那些清朝的那些官员在私底下也非常的支持他们，他们认为中国当时需要这样一个新的消息。
So, during this 9 years, they set up hospitals, clinics, orphanages, schools, and programs to help the needy.
当然在这些年之中，他们建立了许多的医院、诊所、孤儿院，还有那些帮助那些有需要的人的一些社会福利项目。
Within that first 20 years, they set up a number of schools, including a college, several primary schools, a school for the blind.
他们在这个二十年之中也建立了很多的学校，甚至包括一些盲人的学校。
They started to set up churches.
他们开始建立教会。
Later on, they even established a printing house for Christian literature.
他们也建立了这样一个学校呢，就是为基督教的文学。
A printing house, printing press.
就是这个
出版社 They.Worked with as later on as a starting believers, they worked with local believers to create hymns in Chinese hymns.
当然，也和当地的这个信主的人一起，也创立了这个新的这个敬拜的诗歌。
By the way, in Taiwan, some of those original hymns written by the Western missionaries are still sung in churches in Taiwan regularly, and you can get on YouTube and see people singing them in Fujian or Fuzhou.Fujian dialect, Minnan Hua, I guess it's southern Fujian dialect in Taiwan today, written in the Fuzhou churches in the first years.
So you can see on YouTube, you can see 即使在当今这个台湾，他们所唱的这些福州方言的敬拜诗歌，这就是当时这些宣教士和当地的这个信徒一起创作的。
As time went on, they even wrote a Bible, translated the Bible into Fuzhou dialect.
他们甚至就是把圣经也翻译成了福建的方言。
Seems like they've done a lot.
那看起来他们的确成就了很多。
Even though they felt humbled into the dust, they've actually accomplished quite a bit.
即使他们自己就是感到很谦卑，但实际上他们真的是成就了很多。
And their work has blessed many people.
当然他们的工作也让很多人领受到神的祝福。
So here's the Huanan University in 1890.
就是在1890年，就是华南大学。
This was set up by the American Methodists.
这是美国这个卫理公会他们创建的。
And it's a university just for women.
当然这是一个女子大学。
And here's the same building in 1987.
这是在1987年这个。我们看到这个同样的一个建筑。
And so in those days, I lived right over here. There's a building over here that a couple of us students lived in. And so I walked over here to take a look at these beautiful buildings.
当时我就住在这个楼的这个上边，然后走过来就是照下的这个照片。
Of course, unfortunately, now these buildings are all torn down now.
但是不幸的是，现在这个建筑物已经被拆毁。
But this is the original structures built by the Methodists.
当然这是最初这个卫理公会他们就是盖的这个楼。
Even after the Communist Revolution, the work of the Methodists blessed the people of Fujian.
即使是就是在中国这个解放以后，共产主义这个就是他们这个宣教士的工作也是这个祝福了当地的这个社区。
This was Fujian Normal University until about 1985. This was the university.
在1987年以前，这一直是就是福建的师范大学。
So this is the inheritance, the legacy of these early missionaries.
这当然这就是早期这个宣教士他们的这个精神文化遗产，他们的这个留给当地社区的。
And just so we can see, just to make so you can see here, the original Huanan Institution. So you can see the chapel there.
这你可以看得见最早的时候这个华南女子大学的这个教会。
And this was definitely a religious college.
当然这是一个教会学校。
And when I took my picture, I was standing right up here looking that way.
当我照照片的时候我就是站在这个楼上。
And so we can now see, here's that chapel again, so we can see the chapel.
这里就是当时的这个教会的会堂。
So this was Fujian, Fujian Normal College until 1985.The work of the Methodists blessing people of China.
这卫理公会的这些宣教士们，他们所做的工真的是祝福了这个当时的中国。
Here's Changshan Island.
这个是苍山岛。
This is about 18, I have it somewhere, late 1800s.
大概就是快十九世纪结束的时候。
Now.Over here is this little island that originally they were, the missionaries had to stay on this little island here. And here's a little bridge that goes across the Changshan Island. And on this island, by this point, there's a church. They were allowed to build.Outside the island at this point.
他们当然不允许在这个岛之外来建教会。
But this, by this time they could. They've already left the small island. They've already left Zhongzhou 岛。
哦，他就是当时已经离开了这个中州岛。他们在那个时候还允许在外面的这个建立这个教会。
So this church, it's called the Church of Heavenly Peace, 天安堂。
这个教会叫天安堂。
Set up by the Methodists.
是卫理公会所他们建立的。
This church had huge influence.
这个教会真的就有很大的影响。
Many, many young Chinese Christians took on their spiritual life under the leadership in this church.
当然，很多这个中国这个年轻的这个信徒们，就是在这个教会的这个领导之下，开始他们的这个属灵的旅行。
This church, of course, did many works, setting up schools and medical institutes and orphanages that had a huge outreach locally.
当然这些宣教士的工作包括这个学校医院这个教会就是接触到了当地很多的人。
This church sent out missionaries, Chinese missionaries of its own.
这个教会甚至当时建立了自己的宣教队伍。
And in fact, at one point, they sent a large group of families to Malaysia to establish churches in Malaysia. About 600 people in total, a large group of families volunteered to take the gospel to Malaysia.
甚至他们到了这样一个地步，就是说，当时他们有600个人的一个团队一起去马来西亚去宣教。
Hugely powerful and influential church.
当然这个是有很大影响的一个教会。
Some very famous Chinese believers have come from this church.
有很多这个在中国很有名的这个信徒是来自于这个教会。
And for instance, including Watchman Nee.
包括这个尼图森。
He was attending an evangelical meeting at this church, and at that meeting, when he was 17 years of age, he was so moved that at that meeting, he decided to give his life to God.
当尼图森17岁的时候，他参加当时的一个培灵会，当时他有有这个很大的感动，然后就献身于耶稣基督。
And of course, Watchman Nee's influence at the very when early on, he was quite a radical thinker.
当然在开始的时候，可能他的一些想法很激进。
Especially in the 1940s and 1950s, a lot of people had a hard time accepting some of his ideas about how the church should get away from denominations and get away from hierarchy and be locally managed and be managed in a more egalitarian way.
当然在1940年、50年代，很多人就是不能够接受当然尼图森的想法，特别是一些关于教会的这个构架，就不是那种从上往下这个层级制这样的一个结构。
And now, of course, his ideas are accepted almost without question.
当然他现在他很多的想法已经被大家普遍的接受了。
Including in this church.
包括我们这个教会。
I'm convinced that part of the culture of this church.
我相信就是我们教会的一部分文化。
Part of the way this church is managed through a group of leadership.
我们教会的这个领导是被一个团队来领导。
Part of the way this church doesn't have a strong hierarchy, for instance, like the church next to us has.
我们这个教会没有像我们邻居这个 Emmer 的这个教会有一个从上而下的一个领导机构。
I would claim that many of the beautiful things in this church, in fact, come from teaching of influential Christians like Watchman Nee.
我相信我们教会发生了很多的事情，都是来自于这个尼托森的这个影响。
But many of the positive characters of our church come from him.
很多就是这个好的方面呢，当然是好的方面是来自于最初这个尼托森他的这个想法而产生的影响。
From these missionaries who were felt their work was hopeless.
当然早期的时候这些宣教士他们觉得这个毫无希望。
These missionaries were humbled in the dust that nothing was happening.
他们感觉这个像尘土一样卑微，他们觉得什么都没有发生。
These missionaries who felt that their immoral background as people from countries engaging in immoral trade of opium made them unqualified.
他们觉得当时就是他们来自于一个进行着非不道德贸易的这个国家，让他们觉得没有资格来传这个福音。
Those missionaries bless us today in Eugene, Oregon, in this church.
那这些宣教士他们的工作甚至到如今还在祝福我们的这个教会。
They blessed a young man in 1987 who went to that church.
他们也祝福了1987年去了当地教会的一个年轻人。
I didn't speak much Chinese.
我那时候没有说不会说太多的中文。
A tall, skinny guy.
一个又高又瘦的一个人。
I'm pretty shy usually, so I don't always speak with people.
当然我也很腼腆，也经常也不是爱跟人讲话。
And yet people in that church, especially a few elders, welcomed me and showed great love to me.
当然当时的这个教会的这些领导、这些长老也真的是对我表达了很多的关心和爱。
That was the work of these missionaries.
那也是由于这些早期这个宣教士的工作。
Isn't it amazing?
你不觉得这个很神奇吗？
Really, isn't it amazing that God's blessing could come from these missionaries that felt that their work was nothing?
你不觉得这个很神奇吗？当时宣教士 居然觉得他们的工作没有价值。
And yet we can be blessed even here.
那但是反而我们现在也领受了他们的祝福。
Millions, without question, millions of people have been blessed by these missionaries. Millions and millions.
毫无疑问，就是真的是成千上万的人也真的是接受了他们的祝福。
I'm thankful for these missionaries.
我真的很感恩这些早期的宣教士。
I'm sorry that they lost their families, that they died in China, that they worked so hard and faced so many stresses, but I am thankful for them.
我真的是很感恩他们，因为即使是他们他们的家庭成员也在那里客死他乡，也他们这些宣教士本人，他们也经历了很多的艰难，但是我还是感恩他们所做的工作。
There are many times when it's hard to be thankful because we're mourning.
当然在很多情况之下，当特别我们哀痛的时候，我们很难感恩。
And the Bible says it's okay for us to feel sad, to mourn, to feel sorrowful at times.
当然圣经里面也讲到说，我们有时候是可以觉得难过，有时候可以哀痛。
But sometimes in the midst of this, there really are things to be thankful for.
当然，即使在这样的情况之中，我们还是可以感恩。
And unfortunately, often we don't see the long-term plan.
但不幸的是，我们有时候我们看不见这个长远的这个计划。
Like Moses when he rejected, when he pushed back to God, and each time God would have to say, "Just go, I will do it. Just go."
当每一次当摩西来拒绝神的时候，神就是说，你只是去，你听我的话，按照我说的去做。
He couldn't see what the final result would be.
当然摩西那个时候也看不见这个最终的结果是什么样。
The same way with these missionaries, it was hard for them to see beyond those difficulties.
在对这些宣教士而言也是这样，他们在早期的时候也看不到现今的这个他们的影响。
I imagine they never dreamed that the work that they did would end up with Chinese believers coming to America and influencing churches all across America.
我相信他们当时也预料不到，他们所做的工作居然会影响到后来来到美国的这些华人。这些人建立这个华人的教会。
And I should emphasize, it's not just Chinese churches too. Many mainstream white churches across the U.S. now read Watchman Nee on a regular basis and incorporate some of his ideas. It's really common now across churches.
当然就是这个不仅仅是华人教会受益于这个尼托生，那甚至就是整个横跨整个美国，这个美国教会他们也经常会。看这个李托生他的这些讲到他们的信息。
So let's be at peace.
那我们就是说我们总要有平安。
Peace at what we are.
平安那就是是我们所有的。
It's hard to be at peace when you don't feel well.
当然在你感觉不好的时候当然很难有平安。
When you don't have money.
当你没有钱的时候。
When you're facing other difficulties.
当你面对很多困难的时候。
But maybe God can use you to bless others.
当然，也许神就是这样，可以用你来祝福别人。
So one last comment. I'm very thankful that we are looking at getting a new church.
当然，最后一点，我也很感恩我们将会得到一个新的教会。
You know, we've met with Emeralds for years, trying to talk about a way to have a better long-term relationship with Emerald, who's our landlord.
当然，我们的房东这个邻居的这个 Emerald 的教会，我们一直。这么多年呢，一直在跟他们在协商，讨论如何就是我们能够有我们有一个长期的这个在福音事工上一个合作的关系。
And there's some difficulties with this building and our relationship that makes it hard for us to stay here.
当然这个我们这个本身建筑，这个我们所用的这个建筑有很多的问题，让我们这样的关系就让我们很难做事情。
We've talked about several ways to work with them better, and each time it seems like we've almost come to an agreement.
当然我们一直就谈了很多种不同的方案，甚至到了一个马上就要有定论的时候。
And yet, in the end, every time it's come to nothing.
当然最后结果就是无疾而终了。
I'm still thankful for that.
当然我还是为此感恩。
We learned so much through that process.
我们从这些过程之中，我们学会了很多。
We got a vision for what we gained a vision during that process for what we want to be as a church.
当然我们也从这个之中，我们也得到了一个意向，我们将会成为一个什么样的一个教会。
Now personally, I love the location here.
从个人来讲，我是喜欢这个位置。
I remember in either 1985 or 1986 meeting for Bible study downstairs right here.
我还记得在1985年、86年的时候，我们在这个楼下我们来聚会来查经。
So for me, there's a lot of emotional connection to this place.
当然，对我来说有很多的这个感情上的这个依恋对这个地方。
But I'm really thankful that even though there are many challenges, we possibly may have our own building soon.
当然感恩，尽管有这样的历史，但是我们。还是感恩有可能我们会有一个新的教会。
We can't see the future.
我们当然也不能够看不见这个将来。
We don't know what this new location means for us.
当然我们也不知道这个在新的这个地方对我们来意味着什么。
I hope that our experience there does not humble us into the dust.
当然我们希望我们在这里这样的经验也让我们不至于感觉到卑微像尘土。
But we really don't know what kind of work God can do. Maybe 100 years from now, there will be thousands, millions of people blessed through that church as well. It's possible.
我们也不知道将来会发生什么。也许神通过我们这个新的地方会祝福成千上万的人。
Brothers, let's find reasons to be thankful.
那弟兄姐妹们，我们也真的是能够总能找到原因为神感恩。
Let's ask Wen Jun to pray for us.
OK, 那我们来做一个结束祷告。天父，我们的心真的是感谢你，让你借着Patrick 的口，借着他这个亲身的经历和借着圣经上的教导，让我们能够学会你是一位如何有能力有恩典的神。我们真的是本是不配的。但是借着你的恩典，我们来到你的面前，你也赐予我们各样的能力、各样的智慧，来做你所差派的工。是的，主，我们一切我们的才能、我们的拥有的资源，我们甚至我们碰到各样的机会、认识各样的人，也都是你赐予我们的，让我们能够学习，让我们能够领受你给予我们的恩典，把它传递到更多的人。是的，主，就请你。继续的使用我们每一个人，让每一个人都能借着你的福音能够让更多的人受益，也让我们自己能够成长，能够每一天能够领受你给予我们的恩典和祝福。是的，主，我们也为此真的是感谢这个 Patrick， 无论是在讲道的预备，还是他在这个教会我们在一直和邻居和 Emerald 他们这个协商他们讨论这个过程之中来为你所摆上的，也为我们前面的道路献上感恩，因为我们知道无论如何都有你与我们同在。是的，主，我们感谢你保守我们下面的时间我们这样祷告，靠主耶稣基督的名求。